Heading back into the red letters and looking at the words of Christ and what his word is for us today. We're getting closer. There's only 20-some chapters in Matthew, so I look back and we've been doing these red letters almost a year and a half that we've been in Matthew. Some of you are like, yeah, I know. Feels like forever. But I think it's so important for us to stop and look at these things. And Jesus says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments. And I don't understand how people can claim to be a disciple, a follower of Jesus Christ, and wear the name Christian, and yet not know what he says. And so we're seeking these things out. In Matthew chapter 20, starts off, Jesus starts talking about a parable, a story here. We'll just read the first part of this. It says, for the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now, when he agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he set them into the vineyard. And so, I don't know if you've ever been in a place where you saw day workers. I haven't seen too many here. When we were in St. Paul, you have, you know, like the Home Depots, and you'd have the Lowe's, and there they have Menards and these other big stores. And there would be people out in front looking for work. And so the contractors would come. Oftentimes, there is kind of under the table, right? They go in there, be able to get laborers without paying the insurance and all those things. And so they'd come in and with a pickup truck and turn around and say, okay, you, get in the truck. And they would all get into the truck and go off to the workplace. And throughout the day, various people would be picked. And this comes to mind when I think of this, that times haven't really changed. And so these were families that didn't have regular jobs and didn't have companies and businesses, right? They didn't have anywhere else to go. So in here, they offered themselves work for whoever would hire them. And so Jesus starts off here talking about the kingdom of God is similar to a landowner who drives in. I don't think he drove in. Probably like, yeah. And he came up and picked up workers to go work in his fields. And he paid him up, and a denarii is just think of it as a typical day's wage. That's what you would make. And so in here they agreed to do a day's work of labor for a day's work worth of pay. Not a bad deal. And so in here, the day progresses. Verse 3 goes on. It says that he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace. And said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. And he went out about the sixth and the ninth and did likewise. So as the day's progressing, right, there's other people who are just kind of hanging around. Guys who have nothing to do. No work. They weren't picked on the first draft. Now, I don't know if they still do this in school, but I remember in school, gym class, lining up and being picked for teams. Does anyone remember doing that? Is anyone else was like picked last? All right, we're all in good things. You know, because I was not very athletic. It was real bad because I was always kind of tall. I was skinny and tall. And so everyone's like, oh yeah, play basketball. The problem is I couldn't run. I'd trip over myself. I was like a baby giraffe. It was sad to watch me play any sports. And things haven't improved. You know, contrary to what Zach thinks, sports is not my life. You guys have been around long enough to know that. And so I remember in gym class lining up. And it was always down to me and Bobby. And I was like, please don't let me be last. Please don't let me be last. Please don't. And if you guys know that experience, right? It sets you up for so many disappointments in life. And it would come down through, and me and Bobby. And it was like the last one, it's like, you know, all the girls were picked even before I was. I mean, it was just like, it didn't matter. It was just like down to me and Bobby. And I remember coming up through, and the captain of one team would say, and this is how they wrap it up. It wasn't just, oh, I'll take Bobby. But no, they had to kind of stick the knife in and jab you. They're like, well, you can have John. You can have him. I was like, yeah, thanks. Really worked out well. Good for the ego. And I imagine, you know, all those who are going out to provide for their family, those that were looking for work, right? These are the ones that were just happy. None of these guys are at home and someone came knocking at their door and said, hey, please come out to work. No, these were ones who were out looking. And I imagine the first ones were all the buff guys, all the athletic guys, and all the guys who could work hard. Okay, you look like you'd be a good worker. Oh, you look like you'd be a good look, right? And all the best ones were picked on the first round. And that left the next group of guys that maybe weren't quite as strong, quite as tall, but who still had responsibilities of family to care for, and right? And so they stayed. And imagine the discouragement of standing there in the day, and the next group comes by, 3 hours later, and okay, you. Come on in. Then finally, he talks about the sixth hour. And finally, you come down to the number of guys, wondering if today I will make enough money to feed my family. I wonder if today's the day I'll be able to come home. Imagine the disappointment, right? How many days did they not find work? And maybe no cause of their own, right? And so in here, they come up through and they come home and the wife's like, so what'd you make today? I got nothing. And the wife makes that meal just stretch a little bit further. The soup gets a little thinner to take care of the family. And imagine what that does to someone. Then finally, the Bible says in verse 6, it is about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle. And he said, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one hired us. And he said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right, you will receive. Now, a 12-hour workday, 11 hours have gone by. There's only a little bit left. I imagine a lot of guys kind of just went home at that point, right? What's the sense of standing out here? The day is spent, right? What's the chances now of something happening, right? And yet, even at that last hour, the master sends out, the landlord sends out, and finds those who are willing to work just 1 hour. And notice what it says in these ones. It says, look, I'll pay you what I pay you. There's no negotiation. Hey, do you know what I'm worth? You'll give me. And he said, no, I'll take whatever you give me. I'll be happy with that. And I can't help but think that in our lives, where people are picked and people are chosen, and we go up through, and I don't know about you, but I'm not the most gifted, most talented, and I struggle. Just a week ago, I was talking to someone, and they're like, they were told that they were worthless. And I think there's a lot of people that feel that. And they're trying to find meaning in this world. I think what we're seeing a lot of today, people are trying to find a place to belong. Find something that makes them feel special. And they'll join this group or that group. And that social dynamic within that lifts them up and makes them feel like they're part of something bigger, right? We all have that, I think, within us. Church can be a hard place to come to. I'm glad you're here this morning. But I know I've talked to many people who say, come to church, and they're like, yeah, I wouldn't be welcome there. I'm like, oh, come on. It's easy for me because I say, look, if they'll let me come, they'll let anyone come. I had one guy who says, look, if I walk in, the floor's going to fall. I'm like, no, that's okay. It won't fall. And, actually, he came to church, and I was so excited. And he was being a wisecrack, and he brought a hard hat with him. He goes, just in case. I'm like, you're fine. You won't need that. Plus, we have good insurance. And so he came in, and actually he was standing there talking, and underneath the carpet, a board broke, and he did. He dropped down about an inch. He's like, should I leave? I think, no, it's okay. Come on in, right? The floor did fall in. I'm like, come on in. And he found out that church wasn't as scary. Because I think a lot of people have this perception that, you know, everyone's going to judge me and everyone knows. But we say, come. Come as you are. People will say, Pastor, well, what should I wear? I don't have a suit. I don't have a dress. I'm like, look, I don't care. Just come. Just wear something. Right? We have a low standard, but please wear something, but come. Right? Because it's not about those things. And my heart goes out to the guy who was left behind, but he waited and he waited and waited, and finally he found the work. Verse 8 says, so when the evening had come, the owner of the vineyard said to his stewards, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those who came were hired about the 11th hour, they each received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. Now, this is when things get complicated, right? You have the go out and find people, bring them in, and anyone who's willing to come, right? It doesn't matter how qualified you are, right? It could be the big burly guy who could work hard all day, down to the person who struggles and is left out of everything. And we see this within the kingdom of God. All are welcome. All are called to come. Come as you are. And then it talks about when the evening came, it came time for payment. And he does an interesting thing. He brings in those who only worked 1 hour. Now remember, there was no, right? I'll pay you what I'll pay you, right? And these ones were like, we'll work for anything. And so they came and he gave them each a day's wages. Imagine how excited they were over that. Right? They were passed over. They were looked over. Right? Remember, they weren't chosen not because they didn't want to work, but so many people passed them over and said they're not worthy of it. And then each one received a full blessing. I imagine them getting and looking at that coin and wow. Now, even though I was overlooked, I receive a full blessing. I can feed my family. I'll take of all of these things. You know, I get excited over little things. I was in Tozier's the other day, picking up a few items for the family. And I walked by the chicken, and there was one package that was marked like almost half the price of the other one. And I was like, ooh, so I called my wife. I said, should I get it? I'm old. This is our life. This is our excitement. I found chicken for half price. Yeah, I was like, hey, honey, should I buy this? Don't laugh. You'd do the same thing too. And she goes, yeah, go ahead. I looked. There was only one package that was marked that cheap. And the manager was right there. And I said, excuse me. I said, you know, is this a mistake? Is this old chicken? Is this really chicken? Not that I'm picky. Kitty cats, the other white meat. I'm just like, no. And so I took it, and I was like, man. And I said, look, is this a mistake, or is this old, or what's the deal with that? And she looked down, and she goes, that's a mistake. And she started pawing through that. I said, no, this is the only one that, because I went, I said, you know, is this okay to get? And she goes, that's the price. It's marked on it. You can have it. I was like, okay. She goes, so thanks for trying to be honest. I said, well, you know, I come in here often. You know who I am. So I'm like, but I was excited, right? I was got to bring home something at the value. I imagine those that worked just that hour were excited over being blessed beyond what they deserved. And so he went down through and gave each one. But each one got the denarius. So imagine those that only worked 3 hours got the same thing. Those that worked 6 hours got the same thing. Until finally, you had those that worked all day long. And guess what? They got the same thing. And that's where the problem starts. That's where the complaining. You know, the story starts off talking about the goodness of God, right? This is a parable about the kingdom of God. And talks about the blessing that God is. How God is gracious to those who are even less deserving. But all of a sudden the complaints start coming in. Take a look here, verse. It says, and when they had received it, those that had worked all day long, right? When they received it, they complained against the landowner, saying, these last men have worked only 1 hour, and you made them equal to us who have borne the burden in the heat of the day. See, the first complaint is, it's not fair. It's not fair. It's amazing when money gets involved, all of a sudden we all become little five-year-olds. It's not fair. And it's funny, as we approach God, and God calls us and we serve him, as God starts working in people's lives, it's so easy to look at myself and feel like I'm missing out. What about me? Notice the turn goes from the landlord talking about God, all of a sudden now becomes the focus on the workers and me. Can I tell you something? When we get our eyes off of God, guess what? That's when bad things happen. Right? Be careful. Don't be looking around. Keep your eyes on God. And so he answered one of them and said, friend, am I doing you no wrong? Did you not agree for the denarii? Now, it's interesting, this story starts off with, he hires each one. What? If you come work for a day, I'll give you a day wages, right? That's the agreement. He's like, look, I gave you what we agreed to. Did I not? Is it fair? I gave you what you wanted. The problem is, you're looking around what I gave everyone else, and now it's not fair. You were happy. Right? You were excited to work for a day's wages. You were there at the edge of the field. You were waiting to be picked up. You were picked first. And you were excited to get a day's wages for a day's work. But it's when you got your eyes off of me and started looking at others is when you became discontent. In the end of John chapter 21, this is after the resurrection, and Peter had denied the Lord 3 times, you remember that night. And he swore, I do not know the man. And the Bible says that Jesus locked his eyes on Peter, and Peter knew that he had denied the Lord. In chapter 21, we have Peter being restored. Jesus comes to him. And he goes through this whole, do you love me, feed my sheep? And he goes through this process of restoring Peter. But Peter does something that we're really good at doing. Then Peter, seeing him, said to Jesus, but Lord, what about this man? Here, Jesus is spending this moment restoring Peter, right? They're having this moment, and Peter's looking around and says, hey, what about these other disciples? What about them? And Jesus says to him, look, if it will that he remain till I come, what's that to you? Follow me. What Jesus basically says, guess what? It's none of your business. Follow me. Don't be looking around. Don't be discouraged at what God is doing in other people's lives. You keep your eyes on the Lord and you follow him. Philippians says this, and work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. See, I don't have to go around and judge everyone else because I'm pretty busy keeping my own stuff straight. Right? I'm so busy, I don't have time to look around. And you know, I do it. You know, as a pastor, sometimes I find myself looking at other pastors and I'm like, oh man, look at what they have and what they, you know, and I'm like, oh, and we get that envious thing. Maybe we look at someone else and look at their family and look at their income and look at their job and look at their truck and look at all these other things, and we get envious and we're like, oh man, what about me? Or we look at other people's struggles and other people's failures. And God says, no, keep your eyes on me. I'm working in you. The salvation thing is between you and God, not between you, him, and me, right? We're not in the middle of all this. Work out your own salvation with fear and trembling. The other complaint comes in, right? It's unfair, but we get complain about our worth. We sometimes think that we're worth more. Sometimes we think we're too much, too big for our britches. Sometimes we're like, God, you're so lucky to have me on your team. Oh. Right? I'm not like that other person. Look what all I have to give you. All this talent, right? All these things. And God, you just picked me. And it's interesting because this whole parable breaks down. Is that God comes up and picks even down to the most unworthy one. Right? And he gives them their reward. God doesn't look at us for what we can do for him. I have nothing that God needs. But he loves me anyways. Right? As unworthy as we are, if we come to him and lay these things down at his feet, he takes them. I just picture the scene as, you know, summer's coming and all the dandelions will pop up. And you ever had a little kid go out into the yard and pick a handful of dandelions and bring them in and give them to you? Right? And you don't say, thanks for the weeds, kid. Right? You don't, right? You don't do that. Why? Because it's not the gift of the flowers that's the important, it's the innocence and the love that's behind it. I can't tell you how many times we've had little tiny cups on the table. You know what I'm talking about, right? With all these little tiny, you know? And of course kids can't pick enough, right? So they pick them right off the top. Right? So you got this glass that has the dandelions that are stuck in them. And they're precious. I often think that's what God's like. That we not become haughty and stuck up, but Lord, this is all I have to give you, and Lord, I will serve you with what I have. And God takes that and uses you as you are. Look what he says here in Matthew chapter 20. But he answered one of them and said, friend, am I doing no wrong? Did you not agree with me for a denarius? Take what is yours and go your way. I wish to give to this last man the same as you. Is it not lawful for me to do that? What I wish to do with my own things? Is your eye evil because I am good? See, when we think we deserve more is when we set ourselves up for trouble. When we think that we're all that, we have it all together, and we're so special in God's eyes. And then we look around and we, wait a minute, God, why are you doing this in this person's life? And why are you doing that? Why are you meeting that need? I remember in Bible school, the big joke was there was a few families that had churches supporting them, and so they'd go to the mail, and they'd be coming, and this is how our prayer meeting went. You know, the guy would come in and says, oh, I just got a check for $1,000. We're like, yay, good for you. Then go up to the mailbox. Bills. Right? It's like, oh man. Next week, guy's like, oh yeah, someone in their church just sent us $500. Yay, good for you. You know what? God provided all our needs. He took care of us. And I can tell you all the blessings that God has done over the years. But when I turn around and look at others and try to compare, because I don't know all that's going on in their life. I don't know what God's doing, right? But I look at that and I become jealous. And I think, God, you're unfair. Aren't I worth as much as this other person? Or maybe I think I'm worth more. I'm sure I told you guys about, we were in a church and we're doing a special event. And this church had a lot of people that sang. And we had three spots, so I asked three people if they would sing. And this one lady came up to me and she was irate. She goes, "How come you didn't pick me?" I was like, "Well, you've sung a couple different things." I said, "You know, we had three. I asked, we only had three spots. There'll be more times." And she got mad. She goes, "I'm better than all of them. Why didn't you pick me?" And I'm like, "I'm glad I didn't." It isn't. And she was. She was better vocally, but man, her heart was not in the right place. When God is good to us, we dare not look around and become ungrateful. Think that we're worth more. And God gives and works in each of us. 1 Corinthians tells us this, "But one and the same Spirit works all these things, distributing to each one individually as he wills." Right? Just like the landowner who gave each one what he wanted to, right? Wasn't based on what they were worth, right? It wasn't based on, because of his mercy, because of his goodness, he gave each one what he wanted to. In your life, in my life, God gives us different blessings, meets different needs as he wills. That's what this verse is talking about. And God hasn't given us all the same gift, right? We don't all have the same abilities. That's okay. I need to be thankful for what God has given me. And God has made us all unique. And to be thankful for that as he gives us these things. And not look at others, become disgruntled. This reminds me of the prodigal son. You know the story? He goes off and lives with the pigs and he squanders everything and he comes home. But he had another brother who was jealous. You guys know the story, right? You don't have to go through the whole thing. But the father says, "Go kill the fatted calf. Let's celebrate. My son who was dead has now come back." And the older son was like, "What about me? What about me?" Luke tells us this. "And so he answered and said to his father, 'Lo, these many years I have been serving you. I never transgressed your commandment at any time. And yet you never gave me a young goat that I might make merry with my friends. But as soon as this son of yours," I love that, "comes, who has devoured your livelihood with harlots, you killed the fatted calf for him." Look at the answer. "And he said to him, 'Son, you are always with me, and all that I have is yours. And it is right that we should make merry and be glad, for your brother who was dead is alive again, was lost and is found.'" You know, it's interesting. We talk about God, and maybe you've given your life to the Lord. You've served him faithfully all these years. And it seems like someone who just got saved or someone who just turned around, they get all the glory. I know what it's like. I got saved as a young age. And I've seen this in church where someone comes in and you know, they made a wreck of their life and they give their life to the Lord. And we all applaud them and say, "Yay, good for you." And those of you who have been faithful all these years, you're like, "Well, what about me?" That's what this is addressing. And I love this answer to the other son, because what the father says to him, what God tells you and tells me, is like, look, what I have has always been yours. Think about that. Those of you who have lived for the Lord for a long time, you have the blessing of that. You've had God's continual answered prayers. You've had that fellowship. You've had that encouragement. You've had good things. And some of your life hasn't been wrecked. There are demons that you're not going to wrestle with because someone who else got saved later on. But praise God that someone still got called. I'm thankful that God does still call people, even on their deathbed, who give their life to the Lord. And I'm glad that they'll be in glory. But it's so easy to look at others and think, oh, what a blessing. All this your older son did was look and said, oh, he's getting a party. But he didn't look at all the heartache and all the struggle and all the regret that he's going to live with the rest of his life. You know, those that were called first thing in the morning got to work all day. They didn't have to worry and fret about feeding their family and worry and fret about how they're going to provide and how worthless they felt because no one picked on them. That's some of the last hour. If you've been walking with the Lord for a long time, praise God for that. Don't throw wet blankets on someone who's coming to the Lord now. Don't get jealous of sometimes the attention they get. You be faithful. Keep your eyes on the Lord. And I've seen it the other way too. Those that turn around and got saved, and maybe they got tragedies in their life, and maybe they got demons that they're trying to shake in their lives, and all these struggles, and they look at someone who's lived the Lord and say, hey, you know what? I wish I was like them. It's funny how we all get jealous of someone else. Don't do it. Keep your eyes on the Lord and accept the blessing you receive for him. Lastly, these complaints talk about it's unfair, talks about we're not our worth, and we think we're too much. Last one is our calling. Look at what he says here at the end of this verse. So the last will be first, and the first last, for many are called, and few are chosen. And this passage wraps up with God's call. God's call is still going out. You know, I don't know if this is the last call. I look at what's going on in this world, and I'm like, Lord, come quickly. I know the Apostle Paul believed that the Lord was going to return in his day. We are so much closer. The evil around us is so strong. It's not even done in secret anymore. Now it's all in the open. And yet God still calls. You know, the call goes out to everyone. Now, I can hear someone say, well, it says, many are called, but few are chosen. You know what? You want to be one of the chosen? Accept the Lord. It's that simple. If the Lord's been working in your life and drawing you toward him, heed him. It doesn't matter how late the day is, right? It doesn't matter if you're just new. It doesn't matter if it's the last hour. He says, come to me. The call goes out. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Come to me, all you who are weak and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. As this world gets darker, the light of Jesus can shine brighter. He says, if he is lifted up, he will draw all men unto him. He calls for you to surrender your life to him. Doesn't matter what you have, doesn't matter what you've done. He says, come to me. He says, turn from those things and cling to him. And he is a rewarder of those who give their life to him. Let's pray. Our dear Heavenly Father, Lord, we thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for this passage, Lord, that calls us. And Lord, it doesn't matter what we have or what we don't have. Lord, you just call and have us give you us. As the old song says, just as I am without one plea. Lord, I can give my life to you when you call me. And it's your goodness and your mercy, Lord, all throughout this. But the problem comes in when I look at others. Lord, I pray you help us not to have a spirit of jealousy, of looking at others and feeling like we're left behind. Lord, help us to turn our eyes upon you. keep our eyes on you, Lord. Live for you. You are the all in all. Lord, we ask this in your name. Amen.